Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show at questions@multiformpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at multiformpod. I believe it's the same handle on Facebook, but nobody under 40 uses that anymore. Let's see. What else? This is episode 241. I'm your host, Tim Shelton, and this week I'm joined by Gus Harden.
You're stuck with just me again.
Yeah, Spencer, I'm going to read his last group text. I need a shower and I smell like horse and fire. I'm sure he'll appreciate me reading that on the show. I don't know what he was doing. Was he at a horse ranch today or something?
He was up somewhere.
We don't have to give away his location.
No,
you don't
I'm
have to
not,
GPS
I'm
pin
not.
Location.
Yeah, drop his exact coordinates. No, he was doing something like according to his Instagram, it looked like he was basically working a farm all day.
Interesting.
I don't know how much work was actually getting done and how much of it was touring a farm, but
well, my household was very, very sick at the end of last week. In fact, Friday, my wife and I had like absolutely horrible sore throats, and my wife went and got a test and it was strep throat. So she got on antibiotics and I got on antibiotics because apparently strep throat, if you have really bad sore throat, can lead to some other thing that's actually way worse. So they do strep antibiotics to prevent that. I don't know. I haven't had strep throat in 20 years. But my sore throat's gone. But I do still sort of have a cough in my throat and my voice are a little weak. So sorry if I sound a little off this week. Gus hopefully will fill in the gaps whenever I need to take a second to mute myself to catch my breath.
I have throat cancer. Sorry.
Yeah, you have throat cancer from, I'm trying to think of something, from whiskey? I don't know. You don't do anything that would give you throat cancer.
No, I don't.
If anything, I actually had a scare, 2 weeks ago? I thought I might have cancer. Just because I had the thing happen you never want to have happen. I'm in the doctor for my regular checkup, and the doctor's doing his physical exam, and he touches someplace. Why am I making it sound ominous? He touches somewhere on my throat, on my like neck. I don't know where how to describe it, like, kind of near where my thyroid would be or whatever. And he's like, and he kind of does that like furling of his brow, and then he turns or comes around to the other side, does it again. And he kind of furls again, and then he steps back, gets a different angle, does it again, and he's like, And he's like, we're going to need to get some tests. I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to scare you, but we're going to get some tests. I went and got, I don't know what you call it, some sort of scan of my neck, and it turned out to be nothing. Not nothing. It is something, but it's like a super minor, like take a pill and you're good kind of thing. But, you know, that could have just as easily been like, hey, you have lumps in your whatever and we need to do surgery, or you have cancer and you need to do treatment. So for like 3 days, I was like, oh, man, this is either going to be nothing or this is going to be the end of the world, or at least, you know, the end of convenient life for the next however many things. But obviously cancer is terrible. Everyone knows somebody that's gone through it. I don't know how I ended up talking about cancer. Let's talk about video games. So I was texting Gus and Spencer about, as we're starting April's like an awesome month for gaming because we've got Star Wars Jedi Survivor. We've got Minecraft Legends. We've got, on the PlayStation side, we've got Horizon Forbidden West, Burning Shores DLC. And then I'm leaving something else out. Oh, Ghostwire Tokyo coming to Xbox and getting an update on PlayStation. So that's coming to Game Pass. And then the 2nd or the 3rd of May, we're getting Redfall, but that's not right. Gus, what's the name of that game? Why can't I say it?
I thought it is Redfall.
Is it Redfall?
You said something in the group chat about it.
Redfall. It is Redfall.
Yes, yeah, that's what I said.
See, it has me questioning myself every time I hear the name. Redfall just sounds wrong because it's named after the island of Redfall, Michigan, or not Michigan, Massachusetts. Redfall, Massachusetts is what the game's named after. It's a made-up island in Massachusetts, which already sounds ridiculous. But because it's made up, I have the hardest time remembering it. So Redfall finishes that out. So there's like five things in a row. Not everything is for everyone, obviously, but a little bit of everything there. You got Minecraft for all ages. You got Redfall kind of for the rated M. And in the middle there, you got Star Wars, which I'm really excited about. In fact, I rarely pre-order games more than like a week or two out to preload them. But I went ahead and preloaded Star Wars Jedi Survivor for a couple of reasons. One, I already had a gift card on my account, so the money's already on there. It's not like I'm actually spending any money. Two, I love everything Respawn has ever done for the most part, so I have a lot of faith in that studio. And three, it's a Star Wars game, so I'm going to play a Star Wars game from Respawn, whether it gets 5 out of 10 reviews or 10 out of 10 reviews. You're talking to the guy that played Gotham Knights and then yelled about it on this podcast for a month. So I'm definitely going to play Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Gus, I forget. Are you excited about Jedi Survivor? Did you play Fallen Order?
I did play Fallen Order.
Did you like it?
You know, I did. And I wouldn't say, it's not that I'm not excited for this game, but I'm just kind of like whatever about it. You know?
Well, that's fine.
It's crazy. I'm a big Star Wars nerd, but, and maybe people will say, no, you're not, if you're not just shilling your money out already for this game, but I don't know. We'll say, I don't know if I'll buy it day one. I'm sure I probably will, but I will eventually play it.
Yeah. Well, and if you don't buy it day one, you'll hear my thoughts pretty quickly after, so you can use that and reviews to shade your purchasing decision. Okay, let's talk about what we've been playing. Pretty busy week this week. It's funny, in our show notes, Spencer dropped in here, Red Dead Redemption in real life. So apparently,
no,
he
I
definitely
put that
was.
There.
Oh, okay. That's funnier. I thought it was Spencer being sarcastic. But I see now the cursor is
no, it's
the
me
color
being sarcastic.
It's funny either way. So a couple things of note. The Avengers final update happened this week where they removed the shop from the game and all the paid cosmetics are unlocked in the game. Two cool things about this, or not two anecdotes about this. I don't know if I'd call them cool. One is you now can do all the like really cool skins, like the ones from all the movies and some of the cooler ones from the comics you can now do without having to pay for them. The downside is, like, I'd say 2/3 of the cosmetics are all just reskins and recolors of each other. Like, there'll be like 5 that look identical except for their different colors.
Man, imagine being somebody who really liked this game and spent money on a lot of these skins.
Well, we're gonna talk about something related to that in the news, but yeah, I mean, at least you got 2 years worth of use out of it. I don't know. I kind of wish all games, when they go end of life, would remove cosmetics and make everything in the game free. Like, imagine Assassin's Creed Origins. Like, how much money are they really making from cosmetics in that game that's, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old?
I don't disagree, Tim, but unfortunately, you can't make money doing that.
I know. But you got to think, maybe they would get a little boost in the game sales, but maybe not. I'm assuming that after a certain amount of time, if your game isn't named Minecraft or Grand Theft Auto 5, your sales trickle to like absolutely nothing. Like single digit thousands per month, probably, where it's just pennies on the dollar that you spent to originally develop the game. Okay, so you and I both played some more of the Division's Warlords of New York. I took out one or two of the Warlords, I think just one. I don't really have anything interesting to say about that. What about you? What'd you get up to?
I have one person left.
You have one left.
Before I get to Aaron Keener.
Yeah, I have a hard time playing games like this in Destiny, which is another game I played this week, because they're not pausable. And with the kids, if I'm playing during the day, I need to be able to pause it if the kids wake up from their nap. Or
yeah, I agree. It is kind of frustrating, even when it's more annoying for me. It's like when I jump back into the game, it's disconnected from the server and it takes me back to a safe house, even though I might have been standing right outside of like a mission area. So I have to run all the way back.
Yeah, I hate that. So it's the same thing happened with Destiny 2 Witch Queen. So I'm playing through the expansion from last year that everyone says is really great. But I played the first mission or two and then I was done because I needed to be able to pause what I was doing next. So I don't know, both of those I'm kind of slowly making my way through. I also messed around with the Avengers skins that I mentioned before quite a bit. So there's two new things that you and I played this week. One is MLB The Show 23. So you played that one. Any thoughts from your initial impressions?
It's basically the exact same game as 21, which is the last one I actually really, really played a lot of. And I mean that is there's the same.
Is that a good thing?
I mean, it's getting good reviews, I think. I thought that 21 was good. I thought it was very good. And like, I don't think you had to change a lot of it. I just hope they don't get Madden syndrome and just quit updating the game very much at all throughout yearly release. I was more shocked, however, and this might have been something that I don't know if they were trying to highlight. I don't know if they just highlight certain players each year in Diamond Dynasty, but Derek Jeter was not at all in The Show 21. I'm pretty sure I think he was the cover athlete of 22, actually, now that I think about it. But he is in 23. He's one of the first diamonds. They basically just gave him to me, and I was like, cool, that's nice. And then I was more shocked that Sammy Sosa was in the game, because I thought that the MLB was like, they basically like turned anyone who ever had like accusations of steroid use like into lepers, and they're like, the MLB will not touch these people ever or allow anyone to really even talk about them.
Like Pete Rose and the gambling.
Yeah, Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, like all these people that, even Alex Rodriguez, I don't think he was even in the last game or the game before that.
Fun fact, I still have my AOL account active from 1998. It's, you have to log in every 90 days or they shut it off. And I do that every 90 days. So I keep it for junk mail and stuff. So I still have my same AOL username and AIM screen name that I've had since 1998. So 25 years. And It has Barry Bonds' number in it after my name, because it, at the time, that was the like most pop culture thing going on, was the home run race. I have, that has followed me now for 25 years.
I was shocked when I was given Sammy Sosa as a player. I was like, whoa. I mean, because Sammy Sosa was one of my favorite players growing up, because I'm a Cubs fan. But I was shocked. I wasn't shocked that he wasn't in the game. I was like, whatever. I mean, it's sad. And I always talk about it with Spencer. And first of all, Pete Rose was not steroid use. He was gambling on like his own games, basically.
Yeah, I know. But I was just saying, he's another like person. That's,
yeah,
like,
he is one of those people. Like, I think, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of the pitcher.
Have you tried any of the Negro League Museum stuff tie-in?
No, I have not. I've been meaning to check out the Negro League stories that they have, because I kind of want some of those players on my team. But I have not yet.
That mode, I am a little curious about, because I grew up in Kansas City. And the Negro League Baseball Museum is in Kansas City, so there's obviously some heritage there. It's cool that they did a partnership with the museum for the game to develop that content. And I'm curious how good the execution is. If
I want to see
homage in a respectful way,
I want to check it out, mainly because Indianapolis had a Negro League team. They were the Indianapolis Clowns.
Yeah, Kansas City. I don't know if it was the Kansas City, but like Missouri, Kansas City. I think it was the Kansas City Monarchs, right?
That sounds about right.
I know the Monarchs was the team in my area. I just don't know what their actual like affiliation, if it was Kansas City or Missouri Monarchs.
I was just researching the Clowns the other day, and
team name.
They basically turned into like Harlem Globetrotters, but for baseball, and they would only play one other team. And then I think they were the last team in the Negro Leagues to go defunct.
Interesting.
When the league kind of was done away with, which I thought was very interesting. But that was in like the 70s, I'm pretty sure. Like when they finally totally like all told shut it down. And then the Clowns became the Indians. Which it is so wild to me that the Indianapolis Indians get to keep their name, but the Cleveland Indians did not. And the Indianapolis Indians, they were like, we're partnering with the local tribe. And I'm like, was that not enough for Cleveland? Like it's like, why does it matter that the major league team has to change the name, but the minor league team doesn't?
Because the CNN doesn't care about the minor leagues. That's why.
That's true. I mean, I'm surprised anybody gives a crap about baseball anymore anyway. I mean, unfortunately,
I don't know.
It's like a dying sport because the only people who care about it are baseball purists.
Well, here's a really cynical view, because there is money to be made in changing the name. Think of all the merch you get to sell to new fans and existing fans
like
that have
to
rebuy merch.
The Washington football team and are now the Commanders, which is still such a stupid name. And I honestly thought that I liked the Washington football team after I thought it was dumb, because I was like, yeah, why not?
I actually liked that a lot, too. I thought Washington football team was really cool.
Yeah,
I thought it was
like soccer. It reminded me of like soccer, like Barcelona football club or like...
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that works, especially since every team isn't that. They were the only one that was just like Washington football team. You know, it wasn't like every other city had the Indianapolis football team and the Kansas City football team.
The thing is, like, anytime people change their names now, it's just really, it makes me think of like Madden, team mover, or like create a team. It's like when they change their name that they've had for all these years, it always seems weird. And I'm like, I don't like it. And it's not because it's like it's a bad name, but.
I promise we're going to get back to video games in like 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. But
no, I'm pretty much done on that whole name changing thing. After the
last thing I want to say about name changing is my wife sent me a video of a girl named Sierra Mist, spelled with a C, that apparently got into a tussle with PepsiCo over the name of Sierra Mist. And her statement or opinion was that their trademark was expiring and she was on solid footing. And she's like, one of us changed our name and one of us didn't. And, you know, Sierra Mist is now Starry. And this girl on TikTok is still Sierra Mist. And she's like, so who won? And I'm like, I don't know that I believe you, Miss person on TikTok. But
I remember I used to drink the little Sierra Mist cans. When I was in like elementary school and middle school for lunch.
But I'm not going to lie, I did buy a bottle of Starry just because it was new, and I bought it for my wife because she wanted some clear soda.
It's like, I don't know why you wouldn't just drink Sprite. It's better. It's the same
thing, but I bought one bottle of Starry because it was new. I was like, let's see if this tastes any different or if it's just the same formula with a different label on it, which I'm pretty sure is what it is. Okay, back to video games. So that's probably good on MLB The Show. For me, the other two things I played, and Gus, I'll give you a chance to throw anything else out after this if you want to cover anything else you played.
Unless you want to talk about World of Warships, I'm good.
No, I don't.
There's nothing new on there anyway, so.
But I have some new stuff. So Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure dropped. I played a bunch of it this week. There's not really a whole lot to say. Like, Rally is fun. I do like that the helicopter flies over you and calls out like your turns. They're like medium right, medium left, flat out, which, you know, is floor it, go straight, and, you know, cresting hill and like all this stuff, which is kind of cool. And I did unlock the featured car in the playlist this week, and I did some other stuff. I think I picked Raptors first to unlock in the, there's three different teams you can join and do their like path first before you join one of the other ones in the Rally Adventure. I think Rally is fun, and I used to really love Rally when it got added to Gran Turismo, but I don't know. It feels kind of just eh. I don't know. It actually does more to change the game than I think Blizzard Mountain or Storm Island did, which were both kind of like terrain-based, like themed location type DLCs. So it's good. It's getting decent reviews. I enjoy it. I haven't gotten into any of the crazy new cars, so I don't really have like a full-on opinion of it, but it's good. I'm going to play a lot of it. I'm back into Forza Horizon 5, so. The other thing is I randomly jumped back into Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which, going way back, I'm a huge fan of Ori as a Metroidvania, and Ori and the Will of the Wisps was a game that I was looking forward to absolutely super highly when it hadn't yet come out. And then it came out and I played it nonstop for a week or two. And then I got near the end and I never finished it. I do this all the time. I'm absolutely like make fun of myself on the show all the time for it. But this time I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to stop playing this till I finish it. So in two sittings, I just finished the game. And I loved it just as much as I did when I played the original and when I played this one when it came out. Ori as a series, Ori 1 and Ori Will of the Wisps, which is the second one, are just phenomenal Metroidvanias. I feel like the first one was quite a bit harder than the second one, especially the waterfall escape. If you've played the game, you know what I'm talking about. It takes some very precise movement to escape that. I mean, it doesn't take like a, you know, one hit, no hit damage, Dark Souls run type skill, but it's not an easy task. But the second game was great. Like it had everything I wanted. It had good combat, fun boss fights, good escape, like ability combos that like to navigate and get to different areas, and creativity and puzzle solving, and just like all the things you want out of a great Metroidvania. Really loved it. So marked that one off my backlog to-do list. I think I've beat 7 games off my backlog this year so far, which are like, I'm talking like deep backlog, like games that didn't come out this year that have been sitting near finished for me for years. So I'm starting to make progress. It feels good. But with all these games coming out in April, I better be getting some stuff off the backlog. So yeah, so Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Forza Horizon 5, Rally Adventure, Division 2, Destiny 2, and messed around with the Avengers. I had a pretty busy week. Plus, Gus and I both played Marvel Snap on our phones, and I've been playing Mighty Doom, the new Xbox game, on my phone as well, which is really good. I like it.
Interesting.
Gus, I would love to get your opinion of Mighty Doom. I wish you would try it just to give me your
like. Is that the same game you told me about last week?
Yeah, it's Doom, but on phone. And it's you just control with your thumb and slide it on the screen. Super easy. And there's only one button to hit. It auto shoots. So you just have one button for your like super power up.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, it's like you go from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. You just keep killing enemies over and over and over again, clearing the screen.
Oh, is it like one of those almost like 2.5D?
Yeah.
Things, yeah. And you can spin your character around. That's just like shooting, and then you pick up different guns and it shoots different bullets.
You go in with a loadout. So like when you start your run, you pick what guns and abilities and stuff you want. So like I have like an assault rifle, and the laser gun is my booster, or my power up. And you do a run and you fight every like couple screens, you fight a boss, and then you do a couple more screens, you fight another boss, a couple more screens, you fight another boss. And then once you get through a certain amount, you've completed that level. And there's an actual campaign where you go through like levels and stuff. So there's not really a story or anything. There's just like, there's definitely a progression where you unlock better loot and better gear and stuff. And, you know, I didn't play any mobile games until like a year ago. And now I have 3 on my phone that I play whenever I'm bored and stuck somewhere where I don't have an Xbox or a laptop or a PC. So
I'll just play Snap and that's it.
I'm ready for the next season of Snap, because this season I wasn't feeling it. The meta, nothing about it. I didn't play as much this season, so we'll see. Okay, let's talk some news. My throat is already killing me, and we're only 20 minutes into the show. Okay, E3 is canceled. First story of the week. Let's talk about this.
Oh, no. Whatever will we do, Tim?
Whatever will we do? I think I've said this before when we talked about E3 being canceled in the last few years. When I went in 2018, it was the first time I'd ever gone. Activision was still on the show floor. Xbox was there via Mixer. Ubisoft had a presence. Bethesda was still not part of Microsoft's. They had their own booth. Sega, 2K, Square Enix, like Nintendo. Even PlayStation had, that was their last year on the show floor. Then 2019 happened, and it was comparatively a ghost town. No Xbox, no Activision, no PlayStation. I think Ubisoft was still on the show floor, and some of the other ones were Bethesda, Sega, Square Enix, but comparatively to the year before, it was way lessened. And then we didn't have it for 2 or 3 years because of the pandemic. And then this year they get a new event production company, Reed Pop, and they're doing this hybrid show where they're going to have a certain amount of public days and a certain amount of press days, and it all fell apart. So I think the big thing that was the canary in the coal mine was Ubisoft pulling out last week. I think we talked about it on last week's show, but maybe it happened between shows. Ubisoft decided to pull out and do a Ubisoft Forward event on their own instead. And people started going, okay, what does this mean? Is the show dead? And I saw IGN called a bunch of major publishers and said, hey, are you guys going? And they got comments from Sega and Tencent, and I think one other one saying they were not going, and then all the others just didn't respond or gave a no comment. And it was not looking good. So the show's canceled. They said they will have E3-related stuff in the future. I'm not sure about that, because it seems like the appetite for these in-person shows is gone, mostly on the publisher side, because I do feel like they could sell tickets to the public, but publishers don't seem interested anymore in making demos to show broadly to a wide audience when E3 in the years prior, long ago, before the public was allowed in, was just work-in-progress demos for the press, where the expectation of polish was lower, and that was the only way to feature your games. But now we have all these digital events and direct-to-consumer stuff, and E3 is struggling to find a place in all of that. But in place of that, Jeff Keighley has said he felt like E3 was not growing fast enough, so that's why 3 or 4 years ago he started Summer Game Fest, which is returning this year. It's coming back on June 8th. Then we have Ubisoft Forward confirmed for June 12th, and we have the Xbox Game Showcase and Starfield Direct on June 11th. So it feels like we're still going to have like a 1 to 2 week E3 type event with all that stuff kind of all aligned within, I mean, that's all June 8th through June 12th. So that's like a 4 or 5 day period where we've got three major events, and I'm sure there'll be a couple other that drop in there as well. So I honestly don't know that I feel that we're missing out on anything. I feel like everybody that's big enough to have a presence is going to get their own show. I think the real loss here is probably for indies and double A's. The people that probably wouldn't have gotten noticed or had a chance to get the attention of the press without some of the stuff that they get featured at E3. So now their challenge is to get featured at Summer Game Fest or get themselves on the Xbox Games Showcase to where they're going to get some screen time from a major audience through one of the bigger publishers. Gus, how do you feel about E3? I don't know your relationship to it. I know I've always really loved it historically. And Spencer, he said his comment was, I'm not surprised that it's canceled this year. But how do you feel?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that I was ever like particularly attached to it. I watched it in the past and whatnot. I guess it just seems like the natural progression of things, unfortunately, is that in our increasingly digital age, conventions, I feel like, are something that you can just do online, you know, and it saves people money going. I mean, it takes away a bit of the community aspect, I would say. And I know community is something that gaming corporations love to tout. It's like, oh, we build a community, but then they pull out of things like E3, where people and gamers can meet up and possibly create friendships and then take those on to games that they would play. Just how often that happened at E3, I don't know, but I'm almost certain that it probably has. But like I said, I do think it's just the natural progression of things. Everyone can just have their own event, and it's very easy. You just throw it on the internet, and people can either choose to watch it live, or they can go back and they can watch it on YouTube and watch it in its entirety and not have to worry about it later on, like if they're at work or whatever. But I think that, yeah, I mean, it's sad, yes, because I feel like E3 has been around for so long. And I mean, like I said, it's something I have watched and paid attention to in the past. But now it is kind of annoying now, because now you have to keep track of all these other people. Like, so it's like it makes you only care about it'll only look at the things you really care about. And I guess it makes it harder to discover new things. where but with E3, it's like it's all in one place and they throw it all out and then you watch the things and you pick it apart. But yeah, like I said, now you just have to pay attention to what you all want to pay attention to, which I guess some people would say is nice. Some people might find it and be like, that kind of sucks, but oh well.
Yeah. The times really just have changed and it's weird. I do miss like summer, not Summer Game Fest. Xbox Fan Fest was a fun thing they did at E3 for 5 or 6 years. That was pretty cool. I participated in that one of the years that I was there. Because I went 1 year as a fan and 1 year as a, I don't know what you would call it. I think I went as officially as media, but, you know, influencer, podcaster, whatever you want to call the access tier that they put me at. But the experience was roughly the same. The only difference I got with the media access was some publishers were more willing to open behind closed door stuff to, I guess, influencers, people that are not quite media, not quite fans. So that was how I saw Lego Star Wars behind closed doors and Cyberpunk 2077 and a few others before those were publicly shown, which was cool. But I don't know. I don't know that I would even go again. So I do find it kind of cool that I went to the last 2 years the show really was a thing, because I had always, from when I was a kid, had wanted to go to E3 because I would always read about it in Game Informer. You know, I looked forward to, back in the day before the internet, I would look forward to my Game Informer that came the month of E3 because they would basically wait to publish it until a couple days after the show. And then my next issue would come, you know, within a week of E3, and I would get all the details of all the games that were coming for the next year. And then in the years since, things moved to more digital. You would get live content from the show. And then eventually live streaming of all the pressers and the showcases. So I do lament its loss, but I understand why. And my only hope is that if Summer Game Fest is what is going to be the replacement for the most of the, like, pulling together a lot of things in one place that are not all under the same publisher, he needs to continue to fight for how, like, he monetizes that, because in the past, it's been way too, like, Chinese investment heavy in the advertising. And the advertising itself is part of the show. And so it needs to be diverse and have a lot of publishers and a lot of different interests and not just Tencent and a couple other Chinese conglomerates, you know, paying for 2/3 of the show, which is what it has felt like at times. But he also tends to get a lot of money from mobile games and free-to-play games and not, like, big, good free-to-play games. Sometimes it's more AA stuff or off-brand stuff. And that can be annoying. Like, you don't want the show to feel like a... And some of this is more the Game Awards than Summer Game Fest. But both have struggled from advertiser spam or low-quality advertisers from time to time. So, but I do look forward to the show this year. He has improved. Generally, year over year, he tends to always improve it in some way or another. So, okay, number two. The next controversy of the week was Multiversus shutting off. So I think a lot of us forgot that Multiversus launched as an open beta project because it wasn't really, like, broadly labeled that way, but it was, and they're pulling it offline. They're removing it from store shelves on April 4th, which this show is going live on April 3rd, so tomorrow. And the online servers are being shut down June 25th. After that, existing owners can play just the training room and local matches only. And it's going to stay offline until sometime in 2024 when they're going to launch the final version of the game. I did not realize this was the case. And what's really crappy is the game was launched in open beta, but it had 2 seasons of paid content, and they're not doing any refunds besides, like, people that recently bought it that have no playtime, like the normal refund policy of, like, the Xbox store. So you're kind of screwed if you spent, like, a bunch of money and time in this game.
Shocker. I feel like this happens often. That game's shut down, which I'll admit. So there's only been one game that I, like, spent a decent amount, not even really that much money on playing. It was a Facebook game that I spent money on. It was Marvel Avengers Alliance, and it shut down. And it's like, man, it sucks because it's like, wow, I wish I could get my money back that I spent on it. I don't think I spent more than $100 on it. It's not like World of Tanks, but also World of Tanks is still around. Now, however, if World of Tanks were to shut down, even ever, I could be 50 and World of Tanks could shut down, I'd still be mad. I'd be like, I want my money back.
Yeah, but I mean, this game wasn't even out that long.
No, I know. But I guess, like, man, it's like, that kind of sucks. It's like, yeah, I imagine being out money because of that.
Yeah, I'd be pissed. Compare this to, I mean, so you do get to keep the content when the game comes back. You basically just can't access it for a year. Compare this to like Google Stadia. When Google Stadia shut down, they refunded people. Like if you had your subscription and some, not everything, but like a bunch of stuff that they could refund people, they did. Which is maybe even more than you would expect them to do. So I don't know. It's kind of just crappy all around. At least it's coming back so people get more access. But here's my final thought on this. I think they just wasted their big splash. Like the game came out and had pretty good buzz. And then the content didn't keep coming. It kind of was sporadic. And there were a few minor problems that people were complaining about. The buzz just died off and fell off a cliff. And now they have all this bad press from shutting the game down so they can make improvements and fix all the issues. And it's going to be gone for like 6 to 12 months.
Are they planning on relaunching it as like an actual full-fledged game?
Yeah. So like they're going to launch a 1.0 next year, like at least a year from now. So I don't know. Unless they really have a strong launch a year from now, they wasted a lot of really good buzz on opening and launching an open beta. Like at this point, it's like, well, why didn't you just sit on it for another 6 months and polish the game, or like make it clearer that it was a beta and not take money from people? Like, did you need the money so bad to keep development going that you had to like kind of do this kind of, I don't know, open beta, not open beta deal? Like, it just, the whole thing feels icky. What, that's a technical term, icky. It just feels weird. Yeah, it just feels weird. And everyone on the internet is saying the same things about this, so I don't even need to keep going.
You would think that 2 years would be long enough, or I don't know, how long has it been out for?
I think it's been out in open beta for like 6 months.
Oh. Well, I thought it'd been out longer than that. Anyway. That kind of ruins my point. I was going to say, I thought it'd been out for a long time. It's like, how is it still in beta?
Multiverses.
It's like, what is it, like Star Citizen or whatever?
Open beta.
Is it Star Citizen release? Or is it, what's the space game that is like...
Yeah, June 25th. So it was like 8 months ago.
For like forever, but like there always is still like hype about it.
Well, that game has been like crowdfunding forever, and it's been an open beta for like 8 years or something ridiculous.
That's right.
I think that is Star Citizen. It's one of those space games.
Yeah, so it makes
that one cracks me up because they're like, we just reached our funding goal of $100 billion or whatever, and it's still an open beta.
It's like
such
like an ambitious project. I mean, now imagine being somebody who spent a lot of money on that game, like to like in the crowdfunding stage.
Well, here's the thing though: if it's in open beta, and you can and you're taking money, as long as you keep the game running, like servers are open, and you keep putting content into it. Who cares if it's called open beta or not? Like Fortnite was in beta for like forever for the Battle Royale. That's just a term at that point. But when you take it offline and take away people's content that you were selling to them, that's the part that feels dirty. Especially if it hasn't been out for very long, which in this case, it wasn't even out a year.
Being in a beta and selling crap, that's like, to me, that's unethical.
I mean, Fortnite did that for like 2 years. I'm trying to think of other games that on console launched in beta for an extended period of time selling money. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say, so we'll move on. So for this next section, I've lumped three stories into an overarching topic, which is new Xbox hardware. So the first one is the Xbox, and Gus just had to run out of the room really quick for the rest of the audience. So I'm talking to a black screen because Gus has all of his lights off and the sun went down mid-show. And so I'm literally just staring at a black screen. I know Gus should be there, but he isn't because he got up to go, I don't know, maybe the delivery guy is dropping off his dinner or something. Speaking of, I should order some dinner for after the show. I'm hungry. Any case, so they launched a new version of the Xbox Series. What is the official name? Xbox Elite Wireless Controller Series 2 Core. That is new color options for red and blue. So the red and blue controller of the series, I hate the name of this, Elite Wireless Controller Series 2 Core. So the red and blue ones cost $10 more than the original white one. So for $140, you can get the core version of the controller. And the only difference from this and the full version is it doesn't come with all the back paddles and the case and the charging dock and all that. It just comes with the controller and the cable. But you can get the white one for $130, or you can get the red or the blue one for $140. So for $10 extra, which you could already kind of get these anyway, because you could go now into the design lab and make a red version and order it. I think it's more expensive to do it that way. So now you can just order a red or a blue one, which is pretty cool. I will say, in researching for this news story, I saw that the Elite Series Core controller in white is currently on sale for $110. Which is a deal to get an Elite controller for $110 when the regular like custom controllers cost like $75-ish or like $60, but they're on sale sometimes for $40. So not that much more. And you can get the back paddle kit later if you want to for $40. But if you don't need that, at least having the Elite controller, you get the rechargeable controller, the better heft, and the customizable profiles and stuff, all that built into the controller. So if you don't need the back paddles, like, this is a great controller, especially the white one for $110 as it's currently on sale.
I still just hate how they can't change the rubber colors. And I don't know if we ever talked about why they don't do that, but...
Yeah, I wonder if it's just because... I don't know. I wonder if it's hard to like dye the rubber without it like affecting like your hands or something.
Are the backs of those white?
All the custom controllers now that are like off the shelf have white backs. Like,
I don't know. That's weird. You want to know what this picture makes you think of, Tim? Take a guess. Looking at that color palette, what do you like between the two of those?
Halo, red versus blue.
No, that's good though. What Nintendo do you think Switch.
Of? Oh, so I'm holding up right now for you, Gus. This is my blue regular Series X controller. Look at the back. It's white.
What the heck?
All the controllers now have white backs.
Like a Colts theme controller.
I kind of hate it too. Or when you're playing with it, it looks blue, but it's so weird to have the. So if you want an all blue one, you have to.
The blue one I have is still an Xbox One X one, and it is the Best Buy blue.
Oh yeah. So I bought I have three or four of those Series X case, Series Elite controller cases, because I bought a couple extra ones off eBay. So when I travel, I can throw controllers into them. So I take, like, I don't take my Elite controller when I travel. I take older controllers that I don't care if they get, like, broken in TSA or whatever. And I throw them in one of those Elite cases so that it at least has some protection from getting banged around. But, yeah, so it's cool. More color options. No big deal there. So the next piece of hardware news is they're doing a bundle for Diablo 4 with the game bundled in. The console is the normal console, though. It's not a custom console with, like, demons on the side of it. It's just a bundle with the game.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. I have a theory, though, why they're not doing that. The bundle's $560, so you save $10 over buying the game separately, because it would be $70 and a $500 console. So if you buy them together, you save $10. My theory about why it's not a custom console is because consoles are still sold out everywhere. For them to split the manufacturing line to make a separate custom Diablo version would shrink their market size and their production for like the regular console. And because they still can't meet demand, they're probably just wanting to pump out only regular consoles as fast as they can.
I still feel like, I don't know why I said I still feel like, but I feel like if they already had the deal done, that they would do a special one.
I don't know about that. Still, the funniest thing to me is that Cyberpunk was so delayed that the custom console for it came out a year and a half before the game or whatever, and was a 1X, even though the game came out after the Series X. And Spencer has the Cyberpunk controller, but it's the old 1X controller, not the newer one with the changes that they made for the Series X with the share button and all that. All that whole saga just cracks me up.
I have it's two not Cyberpunks, funny, but it's which funny I just realized. Like, I looked at that like a couple weeks ago. I'm like, why do I have two Cyberpunks? I only bought it once.
What?
Yes. I only paid for it once. So either one of those is not mine, or when I bought it for like $10, I got both, like the Steelbook and the regular.
Are you sure it isn't just like a case is accidentally on top of the wrong game, and when you slide it off, it's like actually something else? No,
there's a game in both of them.
That's weird. So I own two copies too. I own a digital, but then when it was on sale for $10, I went ahead and bought one of them.
I bought the $10 Steelbook. We both did.
No, I have the regular. I didn't get the Steelbook. I just have the regular $10.
When I bought it for $10.
And I bought it because CD Projekt Red does the best physical editions of their games.
I'll go grab it and while you continue.
Okay. There's not much to continue because I really want to talk to him about this next thing, but I'll talk about it anyway. So we're finally getting cheaper memory cards for the expansion slot on the Series X and the Series S. Before I go on, Gus has finally turned on the light. He no longer looks like he's in a black cave reporting live from the depths of hell. Gus, hold it up.
So here's this.
Yep.
And now
there's
that
the
I'm
game.
Feeling it, so, and this has like all the extra crap in it.
Yeah, that's the version I have with all the extra stuff.
Oh, never mind. There's not a game in here. So I think okay. I think I just got this with the Steelbook. Yeah, I think it came with it.
Oh, it came separately, but there's no game in it. Okay.
Yeah. And then I, of course, have.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. I know what happened now. Yeah, Best Buy sells their Steelbook separately, so you probably switched the game over when you bought it.
That's probably exactly what happened.
So anyway. I did not get the Steelbook. I just have the regular version of the game, and it's still sealed. But I got it when it was $10 because CD Projekt Red just puts so much good stuff in their cases. Like, they put a map and extras.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap that I have in here.
The Witcher 3 had a letter like from the team to the gamer. Plus, when Best Buy had it for $10, it's like, $10. I'll throw it on my shelf for that since I'm mostly a digital gamer.
Trying to see if this Steelbook will fit with all this crap inside of the sleeve, but it does not appear as though it will.
So, Gus, when you stepped away, I started to talk about the third hardware topic, which is we're finally getting cheaper memory cards for the expansion slot. So, Seagate has the monopoly on it up till now, and theirs is 1 terabyte for $220. Or I think the 2 terabyte is $400. Well, it leaked over the weekend that Western Digital is coming out with a Series XS expansion card for $180 for 1 terabyte. And it's called the WD Black C50 1 terabyte expansion card for Xbox. Best Buy accidentally leaked it, or didn't leak it. They put it up on their site early. So like if you go to bestbuy.com right now and search for Xbox expansion card, you'll find the Seagate option and the Western Digital option. So Gus just left to go put the game on his shelf again, so he is just now getting back. Gus, the Western Digital version of the expansion card for the back slot is going to be $180. Best Buy accidentally posted it early, versus the existing one that I have for Seagate was $220.
I have a Seagate 2 terabyte, and I'm still mad that I...
No, I'm talking about the expansion slot on the back that lets you install games like... You can actually play them from it. Like, not like you.
I know. Well, but your Seagate is like mine, right? Where you have to transfer?
No, I have the Seagate expansion card. See the picture I put in the thing of the Western Digital slot?
Yeah, I'm looking at
it. I have the Seagate one of those. Okay. It's like a tiny memory card. But it was $220. And the new one from Western Digital is only going to be $180. Still super pricey. But if your hard drive is as full as me and Gus's, like some people, it might be worth it. Probably not Gus, though. I think he'd rather buy games than spend $180 on a memory card.
Yeah, I'm very content deleting games and reinstalling them if I need to be doing that, unfortunately, for myself.
Yeah. Well, at least there are cheaper options. I will say I do think it was a mistake at this point. The PlayStation 5's expansion slot where you can just buy a PC SSD and put it in is turning out to be the better solution because... There's a lot of different options. You can get something on sale, and over time, the SSD prices are getting cheaper. And so PlayStation 5 expansion cards are getting cheaper, whereas these expansion slot cards for Xbox have to be manufactured specifically by someone in this case, Western Digital and Seagate, and the prices have not been falling. They've been static, and these things are always sold out. And to get a 2 terabyte, it's $400. That's the price of, that's almost as much as the Series X, and it's more than the Series S. So just to get more storage space, you're paying the whole price of a console, which is absolutely just bonkers. So I do wish they had done something different there, but it feels very on brand for Xbox when you think about the 360 had those expandable hard drives that snapped onto the top of the console. But if you disassembled that thing, it was just a regular hard drive instead of a weird like cage assembly. Okay. Final two stories of the week. Ark 2 has been delayed. This is the Vin Diesel headlining.
Another delay?
I know. Shocked. This one's weird, though. They delayed it to the end of 2024. It didn't even have a release date, except for generally this year. So they could have waited and told us it was delayed like 6 months from now. So they delayed it to the end of next year, like a year and a half from now. So much could change between now and a year and a half from now. I don't know why they said anything to begin with.
We could be at war.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's very true. Maybe the reason they said it is because they were also announcing that they're doing a current gen version of Ark 1 that's coming out in August. So they're calling it Ark Survival Ascended. They're calling it, here, I'll just read some of their stuff. Next generation remaster of our beloved Ark Survival Evolved, harnessing the power of Unreal Engine 5. It will be released to Xbox Series X, S, PC, Windows, Steam, and PlayStation 5 by the end of August 2023. So, sorry, I had to stop to cough there for a sec. Yeah, so I don't care. I don't care about... I played Ark 1 just a little bit. I don't care about Ark 2. I think they... I don't know that the appetite for this is that huge. But for people that want this, I hope it's great. Because, I mean, just because I don't want to play it doesn't mean I want people, other people that do, to not get it. So, if you were looking forward to it, I'm sorry it's delayed. But maybe you'll enjoy playing this next-gen version of Survival Evolved Ascended, or whatever they're calling it, because that'll give you something to do in the meantime. Seems like they might be also adding some DLC, or at least bundling some DLC, so maybe that'll help too. This game used to be on Game Pass. That's how I played it. It might still be. And finally, the best news of the week. Just kidding. Games with Gold for the month of April. The first one's already available. It's called Out of Space Couch Edition. What a name. Couch Edition. April 1st to April 30th. And Peaky Blinders Mastermind, which has terrible reviews. I looked it up. April 16th to May 15th. I say terrible. It's like sixes and sevens. Like, I think the Metacritic's in the 60s. So, another month of games you... either with terrible reviews or that you've never heard of for Games with Gold. I don't know why they don't kill Games with Gold. I know it would look bad on paper that PlayStation gives out two free games every month and Xbox doesn't if they took it away. But I bet PlayStation wouldn't continue doing it for more than 6 months to a year after Xbox stopped. And what is the additive value of giving away two free games if they're nothing anyone ever wants? Like, they have to know through the metrics that people are redeeming these, maybe, but not playing them. Like, there has to be, I mean, how much of a bump could these games possibly be getting from this? Because it never seems to be anything. I can't remember the last time it was something that I actually wanted to try.
And maybe just which used to be the case, there, I guess, as like a developer. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of. But the thing is, yeah, who really pays attention to developers that isn't like
a podcaster or a super nerd?
Well, I mean, right. You know what I'm saying. I mean, about people who actually care. But like, what percentage of gamers is that?
Well, yeah, I know. The people that listen to gaming podcasts and are like super into like developer and meta culture of gaming development are definitely the minority. But they're also the people that probably spend the most money. So, I don't know, it's the old 80-20 adage, right? 80% of your customers only give you 20% of your revenue, and 20% of your customers give you 80% of your revenue. So, you concentrate on whichever you think brings more value. Gus, final thoughts for the week?
Secret Invasion trailer dropped. That's what I was trying to show you on my phone. I'm going to watch that as soon as we're done here.
Is it a new trailer? I thought we had gotten like a teaser one a while ago.
Yeah, a teaser a long time ago, and now a real one.
Real excited about that. Sam Jackson.
I am. It's going to be interesting seeing Samuel L. Jackson in a show.
And
which I always forget that he came back to reprise the role as Nick Fury, like more than a couple times for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think he appeared twice.
I think he did two or three times.
Yeah, and it was always
Kobe Smulders came back as Maria Hill a few times, which is also interesting because she was on TV for a long time from How I Met Your Mother. And I was actually, I watched Limitless today. I've seen it multiple times before.
The movie, Bradley Cooper, not the TV show.
Not the TV show. And it reminded me how they got him to come back for like a 30-second conversation at the end of the pilot episode of the show.
He's in more. He appears more than just the pilot. I watched the whole show, even though it wasn't great. And it's like a sequel show. Like he's in, he occasionally appears. Like he's in, you know, I don't know, five episodes over two seasons.
I thought he was in he's in the very first episode, and then he's in another one where he has to like provide the NZT drug to the guy.
And I'm looking it up right now to see how many episodes of Limitless.
I thought that was all he was in. And it's always so weird seeing like movie stars go be on TV. Because it's like there usually is no overlap whatsoever.
Yeah, well, there is a lot more in the streaming era than there used to be, for sure.
Well, yeah, now, but I'm talking about broadcast television.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, hang on. I'm looking it up right now. We're going to get to the bottom of this. He was in four episodes of the TV series.
Which seasons? So you had two and one, right?
I have no idea. Like it doesn't tell me what season.
What the heck?
I'm used to using the app, and I'm currently on the IMDb website. He was in episode 20 of season 1, episode 11 of season 1, and I don't know how to see the rest of this.
So he was in season 1 probably three times then, because I'm pretty sure he was in the pilot too.
Yeah, I don't know.
So 1, 11, 20, and then so what, one more time? And
I'm actually not sure if it's telling me that he was in episode 11 or episode 20, or if it's telling me those are the highest rated episodes because their website. Yeah, you can tell me after we finish up the show, but this is the Pop Culture Corner. How we got on Limitless? You were watching Limitless. What were you about to say?
Nothing. I was just saying it's so weird seeing movie stars be in TV shows, and I agree, yes, it's less weird for Samuel L. Jackson to be on a Disney Plus show. Because those are basically movies as is, but I just thought it's crazy to me that he was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is now I think is like in like an alternate universe. I think they kind of like
it was alt universe now, which makes way more sense if you've watched the whole show because it gets pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So. Okay, I'm gonna spoil the after credits scene for Captain Marvel. So if you care about a movie that is at this point over 5 years old. You can dip out. The show's over. There's nothing you're going to miss except for us talking the outro. So I need the Secret Invasion show to explain to me why crap. I'm also going to spoil the crap out of Spider-Man No Way Home. So no, not No Way Home. What was the second Spider-Man movie, Gus? The one where he was in London. Far From Home.
Far From Home, yeah.
I'm going to spoil the crap out of the after credit scene for that movie, too. I need it to be explained to me why Sam Jackson, retroactively based on the after credit scene, was played by a Skrull for that entire movie, as was Maria Hill. Because it doesn't make sense in the context of the movie. Either that Skrull is the most realistic actor ever, because looking like someone and making their voice is not enough to make you Sam Jackson. I'm sorry. I need that explained to me. And this show better do it, because that's the only place they could make it make sense.
Yeah, he was in four episodes, and they were all in season one.
Did that show have a season two? I don't even remember.
Oh, man. You know, that's a good question.
I don't know that it did. It was not the best show. It was fine. It was mediocre at best. And I watched it.
Yeah, I had one season.
Yeah, makes sense.
Still, that's crazy that they got him back for four episodes.
I mean, I think he's an executive producer on the show.
I think he was, but still.
I think he had kind of a passion for Limitless as a not franchise. They tried to make it one.
Just like a story.
I think it would have been better as a... no, actually, I was going to say as like a movie series, but like they tried to do the same thing with the Bourne movies, with Bourne Legacy, making it about like drugs, and that kind of like really didn't take off. Jeremy Renner's the one Bourne movie. So anyway, that's the end. My voice can't take anymore. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more video games. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I'm Gus Harden. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for me, you can always tweet me and I'll hear about it secondhand at Multiform Pod on Twitter.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at Multiform Pod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.